This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. At the top of the political food chain, the president and vice president are actually celebrating state and local officials taking some matters into their own hands. This week, Vice President Biden was handing out congratulations for success in dealing with gun violence.
Because of the nature of the dysfunction in Congress today, you are more important in terms of national policy, than you have been in the last 50 years. We haven't been able to get it done nationally. But because we beat the drum so much and raised the awareness of the issue, you've gotten it done.
While Congress has thwarted efforts to pass universal background checks, reinstate an assault weapons ban, and to allow the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to conduct public health research into the impact of guns on society, states and localities have been moving forward. In fact, many of them have been meeting at the White House talking about their progress. Governor Daniel Malloy of Connecticut, how have you fared in your communities from Bridgeport to Fairfield?
We're making progress in Connecticut and have over the last few years, but actually over an extended period of time. We are lowering crime at a rate that is substantially greater than the national average, but particularly with respect to violent crime. And we're doing that with smart policies that are designed to get guns off the street and keep guns out of the hands of those who would use them for illegal purposes. But also, I think, good local strategies in places like New Haven and Bridgeport and Hartford that are evolving to use new technologies to make people safer.
Is there anything you've managed to do or anything on your plate or on your agenda that might have prevented the situation in Sandy Hook?
Well, you know, you hope that people learn from mistakes of the past. We certainly have changed our laws, but, you know, that a mother would, you know, make guns available to an obviously disturbed person in the family, I don't know how we prevent that except to make those practices illegal, to hold people responsible for keeping guns in locked conditions. And certainly hoping to keep guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them, including individuals who have a serious mental defect. And obviously, Mr. Lanza fell into that category.
Would you say that the people in a place like Bridgeport or New Haven are dealing with gun violence fundamentally differently than the small communities like Sandy Hook?
Sure.
And Fairfield?
I think that is absolutely the case. We know that disproportionately with respect to violent crime, it does tend to occur in urban environments, and that's why bringing projects like Project Longevity to our biggest cities, where we go after the folks that we can identify are most likely to participate in violent crime, including shootings, establish a contact with those individuals, bring them in from time to time to have conversations, help them with social services so that perhaps they get out of the rut that they're in. I mean, all of those things I think are important. And I think if we're going to spend money on keeping people safe, and we're certainly going to do that, then let's spend that money as wisely as possible. There are other things that we could also do. I mean, safe gun technology would be a big improvement, both in urban and non-urban areas. In a nation where guns have become ubiquitous, things are happening that technology could prevent from happening, and we should be deploying that. And that's one of the things that we talked about at the White House yesterday.
Are you and other governors working around Congress, or are you waiting for a partnership of some kind?
I think that we're working around Congress. I mean, Congress has not passed serious gun legislation since 1994. And the great legislation that they passed, they allowed to expire, the Brady Bill, in 2004. Now, I don't think anyone's holding their breath for Congress to act, although the American people would like them to. I mean, I think if you talk to the American people, they believe we already have universal background checks. And when you point out that we don't, they argue overwhelmingly 85-90% of Americans think we should have universal background checks. After all, you can't get on an airplane in America without someone doing a background check on you.
Governor Daniel Malloy of Connecticut, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Political activists have taken some of these matters into their own hands. Ray Winans is a former Detroit gang member who was convicted of manslaughter when he was 15 years old and was in and out of the prison system for years before turning his life around. Now he hits the streets as a peacemaker and is helping reduce gun violence one gang member at a time. He says the top-down approach won't work without street-level programs, and he and his wife co-founded a program called Keeping Them Alive. Ray Winans, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me at The Takeaway.
What can you, as a community activist, do the police can't to achieve some of the goals that you're trying to do?
I can most definitely identify known perpetrators of violence and have conversations with them, sit down, help them navigate and create options for them outside of violence that the police don't have the capacity nor the credibility to do.
So your credibility from being a gang member and a prison convict is only part of the story. I mean, your authority comes from within you.
Yes.
So tell me how that works. Is that a magic word?
My power in the beginning, I had a false sense of power, and the power that I was using was to destroy my community. And so it was my belief in the deal that I made with God, because I was faced with a crime that I did not commit, and it was actually a murder. And I didn't believe in a power greater than myself. And at that moment, I was like, God, if you really help me out in this situation, I won't hurt people no more. I encourage people to do the right thing. I believe in Jesus, and I get a job and keep a job and help young people. 2 weeks later, the person that committed the murder stepped up to the plate. And so I kept my commitment to the power that's greater than myself, which is Christ. And so, again, that may not work for everybody. But in my situation, looking at my background, it worked for me. And so through that piece, I'm able to be an example of hope to these young people out here. And so I don't know if you read any articles, but it's law enforcement officers saying we reducing crime in the city of Detroit, and a lot of it is because of Ray Winans. The mayor did his State of the City address. I was heading up Ceasefire Detroit on the east side, which is 9 and 5. And it was an initiative that take law enforcement, community members, clergy, and also returning citizens. We was able to reduce homicides by 44% on the east side of Detroit and non-fatals by 33%. And then I resigned. Now I'm in Sinai Grace Hospital doing trauma intervention. And I'm able to touch guys that even the doctors can't touch, right? And so with that being said, John, it's not necessarily everybody has to be a convicted felon, but you have to be relevant. You have to be relevant.
How is understanding that your community is important the same or similar to recognizing a bigger power than yourself?
It comes down to love. I knew a bunch of killers. That was the lifestyle that I lived. That was the neighborhoods in which I grew up in. I said, but everybody would accept prayer. Everybody had somebody that they loved. We may be able to get 6 out of 10, but that's 6 that we ordinarily wouldn't have. Whatever you serve, it can be a cell phone. It's something, and everybody know that they have a personal responsibility.
How do people embrace activism as something that is a real calling?
One, I think that by identifying the issue that they totally against, and so when somebody has something that they against, they have something that they stand up for, right? So for me, it's violence, because I committed juvenile violence. My redemption came when baby Derek Dwayne Miller, 9-month-old baby on the west side of Detroit, was murdered. I quit my job, started doing volunteer work because I was totally against that. I meet people all the time, animal rights activists. It's always something.
Do the cops understand that, or do they need to understand that? Or do they just view you as like, oh, he just understands the people in the neighborhood. I don't have to understand them.
So actually, it's some that get it and it's some that don't. However, we need cops that don't understand. Again, if we all understood, then what kind of world we'd be living in, right?
What have you learned about the power of people at the local level taking matters into their own hands to make social change?
That they don't really understand the power that they have to collaborate. I've yet to see individuals come together in a true collaboration, and that's why we faced with the issues, because you have two concepts that we normally hear. You got thinking in a box, thinking outside the box. Myself, I use the concept, man, step outside the box, destroy the box, and just think.
Ray Winans, former Detroit gang member and a founder with his wife of Keeping Them Alive, an anti-violence program in the city of Detroit. Thanks so much, Ray.
Thank you for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.